I was thinking back just a few minutes ago. 1991, September 1991, God told me to start a Bible study in my basement in Lexington, Kentucky. And He was preparing me to, learn to preach. And we started a Holy Ghost Bible study. We took the limits off God, and we saw people healed and delivered. We had the Word coming forth with sermons I'm still preaching today. Same sermons, still preaching today from over 20 years ago. And I was thinking, the stuff we prophesied that someday we believe would take place, we're in right now. Arthur was in those Bible studies. Arthur and Lisa were coming in to those Bible studies 20 years ago. And we were talking about someday we'll lay hands on the sick and we'll see people healed of diabetes. We'll see people set free of tumors. We could just imagine that. We'd never seen it. You follow me? We were prophesying these things. And now we're seeing it. Amen? But what concerns me is sometimes I feel like we were more excited 20 years ago before it happened than we are right now in the middle of it. The people. The fire on us 20 years ago for revival was greater then than it is right now that we're in the middle of a revival. Well, it shouldn't be. It ought to be the other way around. You ought to be more excited in the manifestation. We'll let you know there is an assignment against revival to try to choke out the fire of the revivalist. Anybody hear me? And we ought to be excited every day to just be able to get up and say, glory to God. What's the Spirit of God going to do in my life today? What divine appointments has God set up for me right now? And then trust God to take you on an adventure that you could never imagine. And I'm in it now. How about you? Every day I'm thinking, what are you going to do today, God? And we got to stay stirred up for it, don't we? Oh, hallelujah. It's amazing. 20 years ago, church wasn't optional. But now in the middle of revival, it is. As I was talking to Pastor Philip Derber about this afternoon, I was talking about the spirit of complacency. And he brought out the point, and we've mentioned this before. Jesus invited 500 to the upper room. Only 120 made it for 10 days. You think that spirit of complacency wasn't attacking them then? And they had a word. They had a word from the resurrected Jesus. Abide. And I'm going to pour my spirit out upon you. Amen. Wait for the promise from on high. And still, 75% couldn't make it 10 days. But see, we're in a time, I believe, of greater outpouring. Amen. We're back then, the disciples only had 10 days to prepare. Some of us had 20, 30 years to prepare. You're ready to lock horns with these spirits now. You know what to do. You've been through some battles. Now it's time to tell the devil to shut up and get behind you. Amen. And those that are weak, those that are strong, those that are more mature, you help the weak go through this. Versus teach them how to kick back and not worry about, being convicted by the Spirit of God. I got to get to my message, don't I? Never know what the message is going to be sometimes. Turn in your Bibles. Let's get into this. You can start the timer now, Charles. Everything up to now has been rehearsal. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Tonight I want to talk about feeding your righteousness. Feeding your righteous image. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, it says, And God said, Let us make man after our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them, and God blessed them. There's the blessing. We're in the time of the outpouring of the blessing of God. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I've given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth. Now here God put man in the Garden of Eden. I called it a seed plot. Amen. In that garden was every tree that was pleasant to eat, pleasant to experience. And God says, I've given you every tool you need to go and take what's in the garden out into the entire earth and transform the entire earth into a Garden of Eden. Did you follow me on that? God didn't make the entire earth like Eden. He started with a section of the earth and made it like Eden, made it into Eden. And he says, now you take what's in the garden out and you subdue the entire earth by what I've given you here at this time. And so we can look at what God gave Adam. We know that God gave Adam seed, right? Gave him seed. You're not going to subdue anything for God without seed. Seed time and harvest is one of the primary spiritual principles we use to subdue the earth. Amen. Seed can be your finances. Seed can be natural seed, human seed, animal seed, plant seed. Seeds are words. Amen. Your words are seeds. And the most valuable seed of all is the seed of the Word of God. You're not going to subdue anything beyond the level of the Word you have coming forth out of your mouth. Amen. Because the power's in the Word. So God told Adam, I need you to subdue the earth. I've given you seed. Amen. And then he says also, I give you dominion. Dominion is the authority or the right to subdue. Amen. God told Adam, I've given you authority to subdue the earth. So here we know that Adam had authority over everything in the earth. He had authority over the animals. Amen. Had authority over any kind of opposition. Had authority over the demons. Over Satan. How many know he should have used it to a higher level? Would have saved us a lot of problems. So he gave man dominion. So he's got seed, he's got dominion. It says he blessed them. It says he blessed them. One of the principles Jesus taught was that one will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000. Well, that's Old Testament. He said, if two or more agree, it'll be done. The power of agreement, right? That one will put 1,000, two will put 10,000 to flight lines up with. He gave us covenant agreement. He blessed them. He doesn't say blessed Adam. He blessed them together. The blessing of God is on a people of God that can unite in covenant. Do you follow me? So he gave us seed. He gave us dominion. He gave us covenant. Amen. And he gave them the blessing. It says he blessed them. He gave them a connection with the power of God to be blessed. In other words, whatever Adam did, it would have God's support behind, God's power behind to produce blessed results. But one of the most vital things, if not the most vital thing that God gave Adam in the garden to subdue with, was it says, let us make man in our image. He gave Adam image. He didn't say, let's make man like the hippopotamus. Let's make him like the fish. Let's make him like the snake. He said, let's make man in our image, after our likeness. God made man in his own image. He was made just like God in nature. And then God gives him an entire pack of equipment that he can respond and create like God did. Amen. He can take authority under that authority God gave. And God gave man this entire package to subdue the earth. Now, I don't want to take time to go into this, but when Adam sinned, he lost the package. And the primary thing he lost was his image. When he transgressed against God, he died spiritually and he lost his divine nature. He took upon himself the nature of the fallen man, right? And sin took up residence within man's heart. He lost his ability to subdue the earth. And in man's absence of subduing, Satan set himself up as the prince of the power of the air. Amen, the god of this world. Well, we know through Jesus, according to Romans 5, everything Adam lost at the garden, Jesus restored, and much more. And God's plan that He placed upon Adam is a plan He's got for the church today, is to bring the blessing into the earth and subdue it. To bring about the entire earth being filled with people that will praise the name of God, that will glorify God and walk in His power. Amen? And every tool Adam lost in the garden, Jesus has given back to us. He gave us back the power of seed. Amen? The power to use the Word of God. He gave us back dominion. Jesus said, all dominion is given unto me. He gave it back to us. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, right? He gave us back the power to walk in covenant because now we have the God nature. And He gave us back image. When you got saved, when you received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, God came inside of you, took out the fallen nature, and put inside of you now the very nature of God again Himself. And when you get born again, what actually happens is you become regened spiritually. God changes your spiritual genetics. And now all of a sudden, you are once again in the lineage, in the bloodline of God. You are transformed from having a nature of selfishness to a nature of love. Now understand, you still have the same head, still have the same flesh body, so you still have remembrance of sin. Your flesh is not born again. Your soul's not born again, just your spirit man. And your assignment, once you're saved, is now to take the tools gave you, covenant, seed, dominion, the blessing, and image, and cause the nature God put on the inside of you to be released to the outside of you. To renew your mind by the Word of God so you start realizing who you are in Christ Jesus and walking in that blessing and in the anointing. And resulting in, the final result being, bringing the glory of God back onto the planet that was in the Garden of Eden. And even more so. Amen. But it's vital, if we're going to subdue the earth, if we're going to fulfill our high callings, we have to understand we are now once again walking with the very nature of God. Amen. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we went here Sunday, I believe it was, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. A new creature, right? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You are a new person in Christ when you're saved. You're not who you used to be. And if you're born again, this applies to you. And understand this. To the level we will get that revelation, to the level we will let the Word of God change the way we perceive things, change the way we think, it will result in a faith connection in who God made us. The level we understand our righteousness, have faith in it, will determine how much anointing and power and victory we walk in. Your ability to use the seed of the Word of God, to step into the blessing of God, to be healed by the power of God, to walk in covenant, they all, to walk in authority, require you know who you are in Christ Jesus. See, I remember the days before I found out I was righteous. Anytime I went to pray, I'd hear a voice say, who do you think you are to believe God would answer your prayer? For years I'm praying for stuff, and I'd hear this voice. What makes you think God will answer your prayer? Remember you broke that fast? Remember you said that word? Remember you snapped at your wife? Doesn't matter if she started it. Just keeping on your toes. I'd hear these voices saying, who do you think you are? Has anybody ever heard that? Who do you think you are? And if you didn't hear it from the devil, you heard it through friends and family. And I was never equipped to answer the question. I would try to debate, well, you know, I love God. God saved me. Amen. The blood of Jesus is on my life. He's forgiven me my sins. But I never had an answer suitable to confront the accusation of who do you think you are? Until I found out. I'd heard this before. You follow me? I'd read the Bible many times. But I'd never got the revelation that I actually had been transformed internally when I was saved. They told me after I got saved, the blood washed away my sins. But because I still had sin thoughts, I thought, well, I'm still a sinner. Sin still is on me. And it wasn't until I found out that God changed my spiritual DNA, that all sin is the residue mentally of who I used to be, was I set free and had the answer to that question, who do you think you are? Because as I spent time feeding on the Word of God, in particular, studying about my new nature, my new image, was I equipped to answer the question, who do you think you are? And I'm telling you, I don't hear that accusation anymore. I used to hear it all the time, every time I prayed. Every time I tried to, pray for somebody. Every time I tried to do anything, who do you think you are? Try to prophesy, who do you think you are? And finally, when I found the answer, I could answer his question. Devil, I'm glad you asked. I'm a son of God. I'm of the God DNA. Amen. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm touched by the blood. Amen. Son of God, a joint heir with Jesus. I had answers. And when I started answering the question, the devil quit asking it. Now he kept asking until I believed it. As long as it's just in your head and you're reciting it, you may not believe it. You're just saying, well, I'm righteous. And he'll keep saying, how do you know you're righteous? Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that? Yeah, I believe it. And you get in this argument with the devil. And the devil always wins in areas of soulish debate. For you to properly answer the question the devil accuses you of, who do you think you are? You have to have the word of righteousness down inside of you, where it doesn't come out of your head, it doesn't come out of your memory, it comes out of your spirit. You say, this is who I am. Do you follow me? I mean, it rises up from within that I know who I am. The Word of God declares and decrees, I am a son of God. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. As David said, my righteousness I hold fast. That was Job. I shall not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. Grabbing a hold of it and saying, devil, you're not going to take my most valuable weapon away from me. I am a child of God. And I have a new nature. And when you believe that, when you really believe it, you spent time in the Word and you know it's down in here. And you keep speaking it to yourself. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. No weapon formed against me shall prosper because I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're quoting the righteousness scriptures. When it gets down into you and you can properly answer the question, the assault against your identity stops to a high level. And all of a sudden, when it does, your faith is released to go to much higher levels. Because as long as you doubt who you are, as long as the enemy can get you to question, even subtly, your identity, he can water down and neutralize your faith. Faith. We say faith begins where the Word of God or the will of God is known, right? But faith is energized when you recognize who you are in Christ Jesus. Because until you do, you're really not convinced fully you have access to what God said you have. You'll read about the blessing, you'll read about the promise, but this voice keeps saying, yeah, that's a promise, but you're not qualified because you're really not living a good enough life. You haven't dotted all the I's and crossed the T's. You haven't been as perfect as Jesus. And he comes and he steals the blessing from you. But when you know your identity, when you get a hold of that you're no longer man, amen, you're of the God species of being. Let me say that again. Before you were born again, you were the species of fallen man. When you get saved, you become in the lineage of God himself. You're a child of God. Born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. And what kind of harvest does an incorruptible seed bring? Incorruptible harvest. You are born again without a sin nature. And if you can understand, the real you is inside. The real you is not up here. The real you is down in here. If you can get a hold of that and walk in that, You will soar in the anointing. We were called to live out of our spirit man. Do you follow me? We're to be led of the Spirit. Not of the flesh, not of the soul. We're to be led of the wisdom and knowledge of the spirit of man within you who has connection or fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You're to be led in that spirit-led life. Amen. You're to walk in the spirit-led life. And that is not fully energized until you know that you are a born-again spirit man. Look at Galatians chapter 2. We're still in the introduction here. Galatians chapter 2, have you got it? Look at verse 20. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul says, through Christ, through the cross, I died. The old fallen man is dead. He was nailed to the cross with Jesus. So I'm crucified with Christ. My old sin nature, he took to the cross when I received him. He took my old sin nature to the cross with him. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I live by the faith of the Son of God. If you are going to step into the life and the victory and the fulfillment God has, it's going to be by faith in what Jesus did. And you, by faith, you have to take steps to crucify the old man. Tell the flesh it's not going to dominate. Understand, you don't crucify yourself, you don't nail yourself to the cross, you don't make yourself suffer. But you have to tell the flesh you're not going to dominate. Right? So by faith, you die to the old mindsets so that by faith you can live in the new mindsets. The life I live by the faith of the Son of God. I live by faith in my resurrected image. I live by faith that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. By faith, I consider my old man to be dead. By faith, I consider my new man to be risen from the dead. Do you follow me? And if you want to walk in victory in these end times, if you want to walk in the anointing and the power of God and in victory, fulfillment, it requires you by faith to not consider who you used to be. And by faith to consider who you are now. You have to step out of one mindset of living in one realm into the mindset of living into a different realm. You have to say, I am not that. When people say, when the devil says, who do you think you are? You have to, and your friends say, who do you think you are? I remember when. You have to say, I am not that person anymore. By faith, that isn't me. You may look the same in the mirror with a few extra pounds. And if you're blessed, gray hair. And you have to look and say, I am not that person anymore. By faith. And then by faith, this is who I am. I am in harmony with the God of all creation. I'm His child. I'm going after the Spirit with everything I have. I am choosing to live in the promises and principles of the Word of God by faith. And by faith, you have to change your mental address. Did you follow me? By faith, you have to flip the switch in your mind that says, I am not that person anymore that used to mess up. I'm this person over here that always succeeds. I'm not the person that was always seemed like I was under the curse. I'm the person who's always experiencing the blessing. And by faith, you make that shift. Well, I'm trying to make the shift, but everything's going wrong. That's just the devil trying to stop you from getting over to that realm. Keep repeating who God made you. And what happens is all of a sudden, you don't look at yourself like you used to look at yourself. My boss who passed away here end of last year, he was my mentor for years with IBM and just helped lead me to Christ, was instrumental in helping me throughout my life. He actually interviewed me in March 1977 when I interviewed for IBM. He hired me into his area. He mentored, later promoted me into management under him in his area. And for 10 years was my boss. And then afterwards, still would give me counsel. But for several years, he had retired, and I didn't see him. And in that period of years between when I'd worked for him and known him till when I met him again, went out to eat, I had gotten the revelation of righteousness. In that period of time, I'd been saved before, but I didn't know my righteousness. And in that period of time, I found out who I was in Christ Jesus. And everything shifted in my own mental image of who I was. Everything shifted in my comprehension of who God made me. And I met him for lunch, I and another friend. And we're talking, and he stops in the middle and he says, Jack, I don't know what's happened to your life, but you're not the guy I used to know. You're not him. What happened? What happened in your life? You're not the same guy. Now, follow me. This is a story. I'm telling my story. What happened was I found out I'm not a sinner anymore. I don't have to hang my head anymore. I don't have to be ashamed anymore. I don't have to feel like I'm less than anybody else anymore. I am equal with any man on the planet. You follow me? Through the blood which makes us all of one nationality. And he, in one Burger King meal, always went to Burger King. Oh, we always went to Burger King. In one meal, he recognized the result of that revelation on my life. And I'm telling you, it will transform your life. Now you may look at me and think, well, I think I got a long ways to go. I'm moving that direction. Amen. I'm going there. But it's through knowing that we've been translated to a whole other kingdom. You were a citizen bound by flesh before. Now you're in the kingdom of God without limitation. You have a right to live in the full counsel of God, with full revelation of the Word of God, with the same access to the power of God Jesus had. Remember, he said, the works I do, you'll do also greater works than these because I go to the Father. Access to the power of God because he's made us his equal. Now, you're never going to be God. You follow me? There's boundaries on your life that Jesus isn't bound to. Amen. But you're of the same nature of God. Have access to the same authority of God. Amen. And access to all the wisdom of God. The wisdom will start with you. It starts with God, but you have access to it. So that's why it says we're a joint heir with Christ. We have access to everything that Jesus has access to. Praise you, Lord. But all of this flows out of knowing who you are. Not just finding out. Not just hearing about, but knowing. Now the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, right? Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And here's a key point. Faith is actually knowing in your spirit man. I mean, it's a result of knowing in your spirit man. It's a result of having spent so much time in the Word that you know the Word is true. You know the promises for you. Amen. We should say knowing in your soul. It's a knowing produced by the Word of God. So, where it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word, we could put in knowing comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. Being convinced of is from hearing and hearing the Word of God. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, right? Faith, what it really says is, faith is being convinced of the unseen. Being convinced. So, knowing or being convinced comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. So if you want to step into your righteous nature, anybody want to step into it? Anybody want to be set free from the old man and walk in the new man, walk in the newness of life? Then it's got to come through faith in the operation of God and what He's done for you. Not just finding out you're born again, but having spent enough time hearing and hearing the Scriptures about who you are, that all of a sudden your mind shifts into a knowing realm versus just having heard. You follow me? That you're convinced it's true. I am convinced I'm not who I used to be. Now we go from faith to faith, so I'm going to higher levels of being convinced all the time. You follow me? Higher levels of walking in faith for what God has said. But right now I'm convinced I'm not who I used to be. I know that. You follow me? But it didn't come automatically. It came by feeding myself Scripture on righteousness. Feeding myself, building my faith in righteousness. If you want to move into the revelation of who you are, you must feed yourself righteously. When I learned about healing 25 years ago, thereabouts, Pastor Callan was teaching about God's will to heal. I'd never heard it before. We'd always heard that God heals when He wants to, who He wants to, of what He wants to heal him from. Amen. Sometimes God heals, sometimes He doesn't. And Pastor Callan got up out of the Word of God and preached, God's the healing God. And He heals, He wants to heal everybody of everything all the time. Now, that's not what I've been taught. I've been taught Jesus, you know, God put sickness on you to teach you a lesson. So I went home. You've heard this before. I wrote down every scripture in the Bible regarding healing. Got out my big strong concordance, you know, door prop. And I looked up healing, healed, health, every word in there about healing. And I wrote down by hand. This is before computers. Well, before everybody had computers like this. Amen. Well, we'd had them. For some reason, I didn't type them out then. I don't know. This would have been the late 80s. I think I had a PC Junior then. Wrote out every scripture by hand on healing. And I'd read them every day. Sometimes a few times a day. Pages of them. I'd read them. And as I kept reading them and I looked at the full context of all of scripture, I found out Jesus is the healer. And He wants to heal everybody of everything all the time. But I still wasn't healed. It wasn't until I kept spending time confessing healing into my life that I started declaring day after day that by His stripes I was healed, that faith developed that I could resist symptoms. Did you follow me? That faith arose that I could step into miracle healing when the devil says, you know, you're back shot and you got migraines and all stuff. When faith connection was made, I was able to get victory over these things. By faith. But it took hours and hours and hours and days of confession and feeding myself on the promise of healing. Amen. Well, in the same fashion, you have to develop your faith, feed your faith regarding your righteousness. In fact, if you could get the revelation of righteousness of who you are, it would accelerate all your other confessions. It would cut them down to a small percentage of time necessary. Because once you realize I confessed healing into my life before I knew I was righteous. So I'm always in this battle. By His stripes I'm healed. The devil will say, who do you think you are to be healed? Amen. Didn't have the answer. Well, the Word says I'm healed. And I'd get in these debates with the devil and I'd stay sick. Until I just spend enough time through what we call raw faith. building faith and faith. I pounded in myself so strong that it broke forth and I had a hold of the revelation of healing on the inside and I could resist symptoms. Had I known who I was in Christ Jesus 25 years ago, it would have taken a fraction of the time. Because I'd have said, by His stripes I'm healed. The devil said, who do you think you are? And I'd say, I'm a son of God and a joint heir with Christ. Who are you? That's right, loser, failure, amen. Scum on the bottom of my shoes. Amen. I mean, think about it. Satan's beneath toe jam. Y'all can edit that later if you want to. Amen. If it doesn't sound pastoral enough. You'll hear a lot of stuff in here you haven't heard before. I wasn't raised in church. I don't know what the rules are. Here's the thing. If I'd have known who I was, it would have so shortcut the battle to get a hold of healing. Amen? Because I wouldn't have had to fought that whole side battle regarding of my identity. If you can get a hold of your identity, every other promise will fall into place. If you can find out who you are in Christ Jesus and really get a hold of it, every other promise God makes you in the Word, you'll know that you're a recipient of. Because with righteousness, with being righteous, puts you in right standing with God. Do you follow me? Righteousness puts you in right standing with God. And being in right standing with God gives you the rights God's granted to citizens of the kingdom, which are all the promises of the Word. So if you know you're righteous, you know you have right standing with God and right access to God. And you know you have the rights of the promises of the kingdom. So when the devil says, who do you think you are and why do you think you can have that? You'll say, because I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It belongs to me, not to you. Now get thee behind me, Satan. But you have to fuel it. You know, when we get to heaven, there's a whole lot of excuses we're going to make now that aren't going to fly then. I believe, you know, we talk about Pastor Callan having the tilt when you say something. He doesn't like you. He'll put a tilt on you like, are you sure you want to say that? Are you sure you want to do that? You know? I believe Jesus has his own tilt. Or maybe he'll just roll his eyes back in his head, you know, like you'll say something. Well, Jesus, I would have read those righteous scriptures, but you know, I had to go play ball. And he's going to go, well, you know, if I didn't play ball, my favorite TV show was on. And you roll his eyes again. And you're going to be sitting there just like, no excuse working whatsoever. Amen? And I think it would behoove us. It would be beneficial to us now to get the revelation that Jesus is watching everything you do. I think we talked about that a few Sunday mornings ago, didn't we? That He sees everything you do. Amen. Is Christ in you the hope of glory? He's right there with you. And try your excuses on Him now. And imagine He's rolling His eyes at the same excuses. Because what we tend to do is we tend to use our excuses to convince ourselves and leave God out of the conversation. I mean, it's time for, you know, it's time for Friday night all night prayer. And you've already heard earlier in the week you need to go. Someone here said, you need to go to that. Yet at 10 o'clock at night, you're feeling kind of dreary. I mean, not dreary, the devil's attacking you. You just feel like wore out. And you think, you worked all day. You'd probably fall asleep anyway. It'd be a waste of your time. Plus, you got stuff you got to do tomorrow. You'd be too tired tomorrow. You'd be wiped out. You don't need to go to all-night prayer tonight. And you're going, yeah, I don't need to go to all-night prayer tonight. Bring Jesus into the conversation. See what He says. Just invite, I invite you, invite Jesus into those excuse conversations. Amen. Those ones where I don't have time to pray today. He's back there going, oh my God. This is the one I shed my blood for. Oh my. Understand you're righteous. But when we're talking about working the word into your life, if you want to win, it doesn't become optional. Amen. If you really want to step into what God gave us, that you access by faith, it's our responsibility to develop that faith. I want you to imagine for a minute. I'm really going to work conviction into you right now. This book is the Word of God made in print form. I mean, this is the flesh of Jesus in print form, the Word of God is, right? This is Jesus' DNA encoded in this book, written by over 40 authors over a period of some 3,500 years from every walk of life. And men, multitudes of men have died to bring you this book. Amen. Wars have been fought to protect the Word of God to bring it to us. Back when the ancient texts were being written, you know, people want to say, well, it was written by man and it was transferred over the ages and it's just changed everything over the years because men make so many mistakes. The men that used to transcribe this word, because there were no printing presses, you know, before 500 years ago. Of course, they say they were in China, but none printing the Word of God. Every transcript of the Word earlier than 500 years ago was written by hand. Handwritten scrolls. And so, the men that wrote, that transcribed the Word, did so in a fashion that they were under the belief if they were to make an error in transferring the Word, their soul was at risk. I mean, they were so convinced of the necessity to transfer the Word of God accurately that every punctuation mark had to be perfect. Every letter had to be perfect. Men lived their lives to bring us this book so that we can print on inkjet printers, put it out of high-speed presses, having every form available. My phone has I don't know how many Bibles on it that I can put a headphone into and listen to all these different translations of the Word through headphones. Listen to it. We have every option to hear the Word. And men sow their lives to bring us the Word, and then we take it for granted. You can confess the Word into your life to be victorious, and I ain't got time for that. This is not a rebuke. This is letting you know that God may roll His eyes at you someday if you had those excuses. Amen. I don't believe you can get them out. I don't believe you can get them out. He's going to say, why didn't you read the Word that day? You know, why didn't you work the Word into your life regarding who you are? And you're going to go, well, you know, I got no excuse, God. You're just going to skip all the eye roll and go straight to it and confess, you know, amen. And He'll probably still let you in because you're a child, right? But you're not going to have the position you could have had you worked the Word. Nor will you have the victory on earth you could have had you worked the Word. Which to me is of vital importance. Amen. Now understand, there is so much information out there on Scripture available. You have to choose what you have time to do. I have more CDs than I could listen to in the rest of my life, probably. I've got more books than I can read ever. I mean, books stacked up and books stacked up. All the MP3s that I have that I desire to listen to, I just don't have time to hear it all. So you have to choose what you work into your life. But if you want to access victory, choose, one of the primary things to choose is work righteousness into your life. And it's beyond just listening to tapes. It's beyond reading books. It's taking time to take the Word of God that deals with righteousness and confess it, personalized into your life. Personalize it. All the time. Used to be throughout the days when it was early on. I'd do it throughout the day. I would confess, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. My righteousness I hold fast. Amen. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands and eyesight. Has he recompensed me? I would confess righteousness all through the day. Well, I wanted it. I needed it. I recognized if I was going to go through and live this life free of the condemnation, free of the feeling of failure, become the new man that God had ordained I was to be, I had to make the transition to get out of old man thinking into new man revelation. And we all have to do that if we want to move into this new realm. You cannot take the old man into the new address. Does anybody want the blessing of God that's being poured out in these end times? Anybody want it? You cannot take the old man into the new location. You cannot pour new wine into old wineskins. You've got to change wineskin to be able to receive of the new wine. And the wineskin is changed by confessing your new man. Remember, I'm crucified with Christ? Amen? The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. You have to build your faith to change your mental address. Because until you do, the devil will continually remind you of who you used to be. And as long as you live in the mindset of who you used to be, you will live in the results of what you used to have. We used to say, you know, insanity is defined by doing the same thing over and over and thinking you'll get a different result. Well, spiritual insanity is living in the old man and thinking you'll get a blessed result. You can't live out of the old mentality and live in the new habitation of blessing. Change your revelation of who you are to move into what God's provided for you. See, too many times we're waiting for an outpouring of God. Oh God, pour out your Spirit upon me. Oh God, pour your anointing on. Oh God, pour out your blessing upon me. And God's saying, it's poured out. Change your address to where it's at. Amen. I've been mailing the packages to the address I said you're to be at, and you're not there yet. And God's saying, as soon as you'll change your mental address, you can be where the blessing package is at. Look at Psalm 18. I quoted that a minute ago. Look at it, though. Psalm 18, have you got it? Verse 20. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. God says he'll reward you according to your revelation of righteousness. Not according to how righteous you are, but how much you realize you are. I live in divine healing. Amen? And for the most part, in divine health. I've had to fight some symptoms sometimes, but I've always had victory. You follow me? That divine health I'm living in is a promise in the Word of God for every single Christian. Every single born-again Christian on the planet has access to divine health and divine healing. Do you realize that? But not very many as a percentage are accessing it. Did you follow me? Not many are accessing it. Even though they all have access to it, not many are claiming it. They've not developed their faith to the point they can receive of it. Well, in the same fashion, every single Christian has been made righteous and are qualified to receive of the rewards of God. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. They're qualified for the blessing. But a very, very small percentage are developing their faith in the new image, in their positioning in the new man, to access that reward. Because it's by faith we access what God has promised. And if you want to access the blessings of being righteous, you first have to develop your faith to find that you are righteous. To know or be convinced of that fact. And we actually are in a generation, not talking about, you know, just young people, I'm talking about the church age right now, the Laodicean church age, where you think you have everything, but God says you're naked and broke and everything else. Anoint your eyes with eyesight that you may see. We're in a church age where complacency and spiritual laziness has so attacked us because we're in the remote control age. Don't make me get off the couch and do anything. That the thought of having to work the word sounds overwhelming. We are so busy. In fact, Daniel says in the time of the Antichrist, the time of the end, people will be going to and fro, very busy. We are so busy, it's hard for us to make time to work the word into us that will give us the victory that we'll need to be set free from all the busyness. The reward of God follows the revelation of righteousness. But the revelation of righteousness must be worked. Oh, I didn't write those scriptures down. I believe I could turn to it, but I won't. I'll just quote a couple scriptures. It says in Isaiah, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness." Amen. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. If you want to reap out of the mercy supply of God, you've got to sow to yourself righteousness. Sow into yourself righteous seeds, righteous scripture. In every area of scripture, it tells us to sow outwardly. The sower went forth to sow. Sow outwardly. Sow your seed. Sow into good soil. Sow here. But when it comes to righteousness, God says, sow to yourself in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Amen. You will not harvest out of the kingdom beyond the level you sowed to yourself scriptures dealing with your new identity. Well, I don't have time. I've got a job. I've got a career. I've got a family. I've got chores. I got two jobs, all this. Fine, stay busy and stay in the old realm. Or take time, and it doesn't take a whole lot of time. Take time every day to get those verses out on righteousness. And if you don't have them, look them up. Well, that'd be work. Everybody's got a computer you can put a Bible on. Well, that'd be work. Do you understand how spiritually lazy sometimes we are? We can download free the online Bible, onlinebible.com. There's Olive Tree, there's U Bible or YouVersion. All these Bibles free out there we can download that will even audio, play you audio of the Bible free. You know, we don't want to take time to do it because it would mess with our TV schedule or our sports schedule or our hobby schedule or whatever. And we can look up, do a search on righteousness. I do right star because it brings up all the righteous verses. Hundreds of them. Pick out ones you want, print them out, and make you a list of verses to deal with who you are in Christ Jesus, with your new identity. And take a little bit of time. 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day. You can be speaking word in yourself that over time will build up and faith will develop and you'll walk in the new realm. Krishna Harfouche, I heard him say this years ago. He says Shama, you know, the New Age Zen guys, will spend 20 years targeting, developing themselves, you know, soulishly in their art to have some type of out-of-body experience. Shaman. To access demonic assistance. May spend 20 years developing themselves. Chanting, confessing, making sacrifice, everything else. Trying to access this power of the demonic. And Christians who have been given access to all power won't take 5 minutes a day to get in the Word or to pray in the Holy Ghost. We're going to be without excuse. If the devil is able to raise up people who have spent 20 years accessing his power, what would happen if you spend 20 years accessing the power of God? What would happen if you just take time every day to pray in the Holy Ghost and confess Scripture over your life? Not just read it, confess it. I have all over my house. I have them upstairs, I have them downstairs, by my desk. We have them in the throne room at the house. Laminated. Confession cards. Just daily confession, Scriptures. Of verses we want to confess over our life. And anytime I can pull out a confession list and start confessing the Word. Amen. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. I'm by His stripes, I'm healed. And confess the Word. And realizing that in doing so, I'm changing my future. Because I'm changing my mental address. We have to be willing to fuel our righteousness revelation. Be willing to. Now, I understand there's probably some uncomfortable people here tonight. Because I don't see a whole lot of people smiling. I don't see a whole lot of people going, yeah, I appreciate Pastor Jack. Which lets me know convictions in the house, not condemnation conviction. And got to be drawn on you. You need to do that. What's holding you back? Why didn't you do that? You know, not to condemn you, but to challenge you to go further. And you don't beat yourself up. You decide, hey, I have opportunity to live at a higher level of the power of God than I was living yesterday. If I'll just start today confessing the Word. Amen? When I was a young man, yeah, still am. Amen, not to middle age yet. When I was young, you know, in my 20s, I thought, I wish I'd learned to play an instrument when I was young, instead of reading some comic books and, you know, baseball. I wish I'd learned to play an instrument. You know, baseball hasn't, it's not going to produce anything for me later in life. Amen. An instrument probably would have helped. I had a guitar at 12, took some lessons, was bored stiff, went back to baseball. But had I done it, it would have been of value. But I didn't think, why not take it up now? In my mind, in the 20s, it's too old to start. When the Kung Fu movies came out, and I had friends who were black belts. I thought, man, it'd be nice to have a black belt, be able to chop things up, you know? But I'm too old now. Too old now in my 20s or 30s or whatever to start. Too much to do, you know? Don't want to do that. Patty went out a couple years ago and just decided to go after her and got her black belt. In a couple years, amen? At her age, I mean, oh, I'm sorry. Young! She did it! Amen. The point. She's my personal bodyguard. The point is the enemy always wants to say, you're too old to start now, it's too late. Start now. Start now. My brother took up the guitar when he was close to 30. Plays phenomenally now. The banjo, plays all his instruments, just decided when he was about 30 to take it up and just kept practicing. Now plays great. Never too late to apply yourself. And what greater thing to apply yourself than finding out who you are in Christ Jesus? Because, you know, had I learned the instrument, that would have been good. Had I learned karate, that probably would have been a waste of time. Amen. But to learn that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, there is nothing more valuable you can apply yourself to as a born-again Christian. And it changes the realm you live in. Jesus said it twice in Scripture, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open, I will come in with him and sup." We'll fellowship, right? So Jesus says there's a door. And I'm at the door knocking. But you have the responsibility to open it and come in. But if you open it and come in, I will fellowship with you. Well, I want you to know that door is the one we're talking about right now into the new realm. Here's the old man realm. Living in the natural world with man's strength, man's wisdom, man's cunning, amen, man's failings. Over here's the new realm. Birthed out of walking in your new image. Unlimited anointing. Divine health. Supernatural financial prosperity. Relationships restored. Walking in the joy and fulfillment of God and having 24/7 access and relationship to God available. Not to mention this thing about living in the glory. It's all over here. I believe the further you come from the door, deeper into the realm through finding out who you are, the more the glory you step into. Because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, the more is able to be released out of you. And he's standing here saying, won't you come into this new realm? Won't you find out who you are in Christ Jesus? See, we're trying to bulldoze through the door. I'm coming, Jesus. I'm going to pray. I'm coming. Not realizing you don't go through that door any further than your revelation of who you are. You can get to the door and talk to Jesus, but you're not going into that realm without a revelation that you're righteous. Do you follow me on that? So he's knocking and saying, won't somebody read the confession list? Won't somebody get in the Word and search out who I made them? Won't anybody develop their faith in their new image? And to the level you do that determines how far you penetrate into the kingdom of God's blessing. But we make a major mistake, a major flaw in our mentality, when we think we can do the same things we've always done back here as far as not seeking God, and somehow showers of blessing are going to overtake us. Do you follow me? Understand God will always increase on your life if you're going after Him. But to lack, to not do anything and think, well, I'm a Christian and God just, if He wants me to have it, I'll have it. That is ludicrous. That's the mentality of the man that buried his talent. Remember, one had five and doubled it to 10. One had two, doubled it to 4, and they both entered into the joy of the Lord. The one had one buried it because he was afraid, and he was thrown into outer darkness where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth, and took his one and gave it to the one that had 10. That's the mentality. If God wants to bless me, He'll bless me. I'll just bury it. We are assigned to attack. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. We are assigned to attack darkness. To attack the old mindset. We're to attack the mindset of can't. Did you follow me? But I have can't in my background. Actually, my great-grandmother was a can't. K-A-N-T. Amen. I'm from the can't lineage. I have a right to say I can't. But the point is the old man always says I can't. But God says all things are possible to him to believe. But I can't. But all things are possible to him to believe. For by faith nothing shall be impossible unto you, right? When you identify the can't mentality in your life, when you find yourself saying, I can't go there, I can't do this, I'm incapable of that. When you are entertaining can't, there should be an alarm go off in your mind that says, I am operating out of the old man. I've got to get over here in the new man where I can do all things. Well, I can't go over there. I mean, that's really, I can't do that because this is my mindset, this is who I am, and I can't. Then stay stuck in the old man. Because Jesus can't drag you into the new mindset. You got to work it in by the Word. If the Word declares it and God assigns it to you, you can. But you can only do it to the level that you find it who He made you. The Word of God is our bread of life. Jesus said, I'm the manna that came from heaven. Amen. I'm the bread of life. Talking about His Word. And if you want to grow up into who God made you, you must put your spirit man on the right diet. I think we talked about this the other day too. About, you know, the Olympic athletes, they put themselves on stringent diets. They put themselves on a diet to develop their physical body. You can put yourself on a stringent diet to develop your spirit man. I shouldn't say develop your spirit man, to develop your soul to think in alignment with your spirit man. Because your spirit man's already been made righteous, it's been made perfect. But your soul has to get that revelation. And so you can say, okay, soul, here's your diet for today. You're going to eat this whether you like it or not. You're going to eat the cauliflower and the broccoli whether you want to eat it or not. In the Word, here's the verses you're going to confess. You know, the 5-year-old, well, I shouldn't say, the 10-year-old. You tell him, eat that broccoli. I don't like broccoli. Well, eat it. You want dessert? Eat broccoli. So they're chewing, I don't like it. I'm getting nothing out of this, you know. Arguing. Just eating it because they want the dessert. Well, a lot of times that's what we do confessing to Scripture. I'm getting nothing out of this. Yeah, you are. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. You are feeding your soul to become spiritually minded. No food, no growth. Let's go one last verse. Matthew chapter 5. Anybody hungry for the Word? Matthew chapter 5. And let's go to verse number 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You will be filled if you feed yourself on righteousness. Find scriptures that deal with your new identity. Learn to start thinking in terms of your new identity. Learn as you confess the Scriptures. Don't just confess it. Stop and think about it. What's this mean with regard to me? I really am in the DNA chain of Jesus. I really am of His bloodline. I really am a new creation. I really am made of love on the inside. I really have been set free from my past. I have an unlimited future. I'm no longer a failure. I'm now a success. I've been blessed by God and have opened heavens before Him. Rights to everything in the kingdom. Confess it and then mentally meditate what it means. Because when we say faith comes by hearing and hearing, really I believe there's two parts of that hearing. One is the hearing in your ears, the other is hearing in your head. Hearing it audially or, you know, through your eye gates, and then mentally processing what you heard over and over again until faith is developed. Again, the best analogy I know, and again, this is one we tell a lot, is about the cow eating grass. Amen? The cow goes out in the field. He's got the nice green grass. He chews grass. Anybody ever try to eat grass? It doesn't digest well. You're not built for it. So the cow eats the grass. And raised on a farm, you know, my grandfather had a dairy farm all my life. I know cows pretty well. And you'll call the cows in for milking. They've been out in the field. And they'll be in the corral where there's no grass. And you look up and every single cow is chewing. They're chewing. On what? They're in a corral. What they did is cows, when they chew grass, they chew it for a while, start to break it down, and then they swallow it. And I've heard, you know, different stories about their stomach. The best I've heard is through Pastor Elizabeth Smither, who says cows have a three-compartment stomach. And they swallow the grass down into the first compartment, and it starts to be broken down by the bacteria and stuff in the stomach and in the chemicals. And later, at the cow's convenience, it will bring that grass back up in the form of a cud, and right in the middle of the corral, start chewing again. It'll chew it some more, it'll swallow it again. And it will do this several times until the grass is properly broken down, because grass is very hard to break down. And it will finally swallow it. It will be taken down to the third compartment of the stomach, where it's finally passed on, you know, into its intestinal tract. And the grass, the fuel that's in the grass, will be absorbed by the cow. And what used to be grass will become prime, grade A, number one, prime rib beef. Amen. It becomes hamburger. Thank you, Jesus, for hamburger. What used to be grass, through the process of chewing and repeated swallowing, bring it up, chew on it some more, and swallow, becomes cow. We are to take the word in like fashion. Bring it in, think about it, let it sit there. Later, mentally, you don't have to read it, just bring it back into your mind. You'll have memorized after reading it two or three times. Bring it back up. What's this mean to me? Just think about it through your day. You know, if you can do it at your job, think about it. If you can do it on break, think about it. Laying down, think about it. What's this mean to me? And you bring, you're chewing on it some more. And you let it settle again. And after repeatedly bring that scripture up and meditating on it, all of a sudden, what used to be word becomes rhema. And is absorbed by your triune being, and faith is developed. And what used to be word becomes faith. Amen. And where faith is developed, the blessing of God can be manifested. Jesus was the Word made flesh. As we spend time in the Word, we are flesh being made Word. Time in the book lets us actually put on the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. No time in the Word, you stay locked in your old man mentality. You've got to go into the new man realm to access what God's pouring out in these end times. Don't let the spirit of apathy and complacency and lethargy steal from you the opportunity you have right now to work the Word into your life. And if you miss a prayer time, a word time, don't beat yourself up. Just open your Bible and start. And you'll be surprised after so many weeks or months or even years how much God shifts you into living in the new realm. I tell everybody that comes in here, I told David the other day, if you'll come here 6 months, you will not recognize your life after 6 months. Is anybody in here that's been here 6 months take issue with that whatsoever? You won't be the same person. Why? The Word changes you to live in that other realm. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. I tell people come up on prayer lines quite often. I'll go to lay hands on them. And listen, as the person, you move out and you learn to move out in the Spirit, you know when people are under condemnation. And I'll go to lay hands on them, and I'll look at them, and it'll feel like I'm laying hands on a rock. Like the power's hitting my, going up my arm and coming back, and I know it ain't getting through. And I'll look at them, and they're sitting there just beating themselves up like, you're not worthy, you're not worthy. Oh, Jesus. And I'll say, repeat after me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I got to get through. You have a right to the power of God. You're a new creation with rights to the kingdom. Now receive it freely. And many times they'll confess, And then all of a sudden I'll lay hands on them and there it goes. They got a hold of it. Other times they'll confess it three times and still bounce off. Because they can say it to themselves and still not be convinced that it's true. Well, I tell you what, stand to your feet with me. Let's worship God here a minute and see how he wants to close up this service.